You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
If you've got your Bible, 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, we want to get straight into the Word of God today. I want to make some time at the end to pray. How many know that sometimes you can be busy doing things, and so, you know, you can feel really tired? How many ever felt tired? You're busy. Life is just busy. You know, running around doing everything. But when you look at the end of your busyness, have you ever felt like, I haven't really produced much? Like I'm busy, but I'm not really producing a lot. And so, you know, there's an old adage, it says that, you know, activity is not the same as productivity. Activity is not the same as productivity. That means activity means you can be running around everywhere doing everything, but there's not much productivity for your running around. How many know that we don't want 2019 just to be active? We want more than just to be active. And so there is, we say you move from being active or just being, you know, active to producing things. But I want to go a step further and say what God wants for you is not just to produce. He wants you to reproduce. That's what God wants you to do. He's looking for reproduction. He wants you to reproduce. And so that would really be the kind of the theme of the year. When I say reproduce, what I'm saying is there's a difference between earning money and making money. And when I say earning money, you go to a job, you earn your money, you make some money, and then you spend it on stuff. And that's really how a lot of people live. But what we're making money is when you've got some money and you do something with that money and it starts to make more money for you. And that's what we're talking about, reproducing. That's when you get to a whole nother level. And how many would like to get to that level this year? Where I'm not just earning money and then spending, buying stuff, but I want to earn some money. And with that money, do something with it that it makes more money. How many know there's a difference between just dating and building a family? You know, in our world, it's all about dating. Dating, who are you dating? I got a man, I got a girl, you're dating. Okay, good. But we don't want to just date, we want to build families. Because we believe that families are the pillars of society. Good people usually come from good families. That's the reality. Bad people usually come from bad families. What about just coming to church, or are you becoming the church? Are you just coming to church, or are you becoming the church? Are you being absorbed within the church and giving your life to this thing? See, all of these things, we're talking about lasting legacy. See, there's going to be a difference. Some people are, if we was to look at their life, some people, what they're doing with their life right now, it's like a whiteboard marker. You ever seen a whiteboard marker? You write on it. I have one in my office where I put notes and things I've got to do. Whiteboard marker. How many know at the end of the day, you can just, there's a difference between a whiteboard marker and a permanent marker. See, I want to be a permanent marker. See, what I want to do is that my life, I want it to make a mark in my generation. I remember saying this as a disciple in the body. I want to do something with my life that makes a mark in my generation for God. That after I'm gone, you know what? Something can be said. You know what? This is, there's a legacy here. There's something here. At the end of 2018, looking back at your life, what did you achieve that's lasting now? What did you do that's lasting now? What did you achieve that's lasting now? Because Jesus has 11 men and he changes the world. Jesus has 11 men and he changes the world. And so what we want to look at is discipleship. And so we're going to be looking at this for basically over the next, for all of January. And we're going to be unpacking this. Because I want to say to you today is, everything you want as a Christian will be found in discipleship. God has put it in there. And so I can come up here and grease your palms and tell you, you know what, it's your season. And every week it's your season. I mean, that can't be, because a season has to fluctuate every week. It's your season. Amen, it's your season. No. What I'm saying to you is, everything you want is found in God's discipleship. You want a good marriage? A good disciple has a good marriage. You want to have a good fire? You know, I see people's statuses, more discipline this year, more this year, more that this year. And listen, more grease to your elbows this year. Do that. But I want to say to you, those things, it's found in God's discipleship. And so we're going to look at this and we're going to believe God that we're going to have a good time in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, very famous passage of scripture. It says this, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let's pray. Father, we ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight, speak to us tonight. Father, let this message set the tone of the year. Let it help us. Let it not just go in one ear and out the other. Let it be received in the right spirit. Let it be communicated in the right spirit. I pray, Father, that we would be a disciple-making ministry. I pray, Father, that we would make a mark in our generation. I thank you for this church and all the precious souls and the marvelous thing you've done over the years here. I believe, Father, we have just scratched the surface. But, Father, as we walk in discipleship, as we make this our goal, unlock unlimited power in our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, I want to do something here. It's a little bit... It might be convicting, it might not. Who knows? Let's see how it goes. How many here you love God? Put your hand up. Love God. Okay, simple. Okay, the Bible says there's two ways of loving God. There is loving God with your lips or loving God with your heart. It says if we love God with our lips, really it's lip service. I love God. How many know it's easy to say that? I love God. It's a whole nother thing doing it. All of us there. And so is it lips love or is it heart love? Now, if I was to say to you here, don't put your hand up. But if I was to say to you here, how many here are actively involved in discipling other people or actively involved in discipleship? How many here? Now, if you can't put your hand up and you did put your hand up before, we would say that's you're more on the lips, love. Because you know what Jesus said? Jesus says this, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. And at the end of Matthew, Jesus gives us one main thing for the church. He says, go and make disciples. So we ain't got to figure out what we got to do. How many of we don't... We ain't got enough brains to even figure that out anyway. So we just got to do what he told us to do. How many know it's simple? Go and make disciples. What you'll find is much of the church world is not actually making disciples. And so if you ask many Christians, do you love Jesus? They'll say, yeah, I love him. But he told you to do this. Then that's lips love. That's not heart love. That would be like me saying to my wife, you know what? I just got you this lovely, amazing DVD or whatever they have now on boxing for our anniversary. How many know that's not what she wants? If you don't know Frances, that she doesn't want a boxing DVD. And basically, how many know, ladies, you would like the man that says he loves you to give you what you like, not just squeeze in the gift he wants. And so the same is with God, is that we have to, if we're going to love Jesus, we've got to make this thing, discipleship, a big thing. We've got to make a big thing out of this. We've got to make a priority out of this. Now, I'm very simply going to show you three things from this text. And so the first thing it says, and the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses. So Paul is speaking to Timothy and he says this, whatever you've heard of me, how you've seen me hold myself, how I'm living my life, the teaching I've given you, whatever I've given you, then he tells them, commit this to faithful men. So Timothy learns from Paul and then he teaches it to others. Very, very simple. God doesn't give us anything super complex to figure out. I know some of you, you may want deeper things. You go on YouTube to find the square root of the pyramid. It's deep. But really what Jesus gives us is very, very simple. And he says, and Paul starts by saying, this is where discipleship starts. The things you have heard of me. The things you have heard of me. And so discipleship starts with you receiving things from others. That's where it's got to start. And so the question I ask today, this is a very practical message. What things are you receiving and where are you receiving them from? What things are you receiving and where are you receiving them from? Because Paul says to Timothy, whatever you've heard of me, I want to communicate. I want that to be communicated to you. Now, that's difficult in our society. You know why? It's because we live in a self-made society where I'm a self-made. I don't need anybody else. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm just going to get with it, and I don't need nobody else. No one needs to tell me anything. The problem with that is just not the way God works. It's not the way God's going to work. And you can look through your Bible and see that, you know, that's just the reality of it. God doesn't work like that. What Paul says is discipleship starts by you receiving from others. Recently, 2 weeks ago, I was around Kudzi's house, Kudzi and Caroline. They just got a new house, nice house. We was praying for them. And so God blessed them. And so we're going to believe God. Listen, there's some people here, we're praying for you. You're going to get a house this year. We're believing God. I don't just say that lightly. You know, we prayed for them last year, Kudzi and Caroline. I sat down in the car with them. I said, listen, God's going to provide. And as I stand here now, God has provided. And he will provide. And so I'm there. First time I've been around the house. So Roger is a trustee. Kudzi is a trustee of our charity. We're speaking about the budgets for next year. And so we're going to look at our bank account, our figures. We're going to see how we present the end of year thing. We'll probably do that end of January, early February. And so I said, okay, let me send this to you. I got it on my iPad. And so how many know what, AirDrop? Is that what it's called? AirDrop. You know what that is? Yeah. Okay. And so Kudzi's got an iPhone. And so it's an AirDrop. And so Roger, I love Roger. I'm going to love Roger. I'm going to Roger's a man of God. He's a man of God. We love Roger. Roger's a brother. We're like brothers, me and Roger. But Roger hasn't quite adopted the Apple yet. And so I'm looking for Roger, where are you? I want to AirDrop this thing to you. No. Is Roger's from a different doctrine. So that Sam... I don't even want to say it, man. I don't even want to say it. He can't receive because he's not the same. Listen, you're going to have to get on the same page with us if you're going to receive from us. See, there's too many people coming in with their Samsung and God's operating on Apple. You've come in doing your own thing. This is why you can sit in sermons. You're like, I ain't getting nothing. We can't AirDrop nothing to you, man. People are worshiping. I'm not getting anything in the worship. See, listen, you've got to get on. See, what Paul is saying to Timothy, he says, listen, you've got to get on the same wavelength. I remember we were doing a Bible workout, and Adrian and Taurus, and some of the guys were there. Anthony and Nadine were there. Kenny and Sharice were there. And we were doing... Bible workout last year, beginning of last year. And again, I said, let me AirDrop the notes to everybody. And so there was somebody that they had an iPhone, but they had not turned on. And Tara took it and she just tapped, mastered it, went inside this thing, and she turned on. And I was thinking, that's some people, you're here, but the problem is you haven't turned it on. You actually haven't come here to receive. Not from God. You've come here because it's social. You've come here because it's fun and there's people like you here. And it's kind of novelty because it's a church full of young people and it's kind of different a little bit. But have you come here to turn? Are you turned on to discipleship? Have you turned on to receive from us? See, Paul speaks to Timothy and he says he calls him a son. Can we call you a son or a daughter? Can we call you that? You'd be like, what? That's the relationship they have. Because he's going to receive from him. But look what he says. He says, what you've heard from many witnesses. And so listen, not everybody in the church you need to be receiving stuff from. That's unfortunate. I know it's not nice to say that, but that's the reality. Not everybody in the church you need to be receiving stuff from. Are there many witnesses to their testimony? Are there many people that can say he's a man of God? There needs to be many people that can say he's a man of God. Paul didn't just say, yeah, just say. He says, no, listen to many witnesses and they'll tell you who I am. And this is why you've got to protect your testimony. You've got to protect your testimony. Keep your testimony in church. How you carry yourself. If you don't carry yourself in the right way, don't get upset. Every single one of us, we're building our testimony. I'm building mine, you're building yours. Like I told you before, if you see me in the plow taking crack, then I want to roll up on here on a Wednesday and tell you about holiness. You'll be like, holy yourself. And you have every right to, because there has to be many witnesses. Let's look at this person. Let's look at their life. The second thing is, he says this. So here you now, you've received something. He says, commit these to faithful men. The word commit means to transfer, to pass on, to entrust, to pour into. And so this is the critical point. I've got one of these. How many know what this is? You know what this is? Baton. Everybody know what this is? Yeah. When you run in the relay and you pass it, how many know what we're talking about? And so the relay race, the critical part of the relay race is the handing. It's not the running. The running is important. But sometimes the team with the fastest runners can still lose the race because it's the passing of the baton is so important. And so discipleship is about passing on. That's discipleship. And so have you received it? If you've ever seen how when the relay's going, the guy's got his hand out like this and he's running. That's how you need to come to church. If you come to church like that, we can't hand you nothing. But also there needs to be people that are giving them something. This is why if you're in the middle of the relay, so someone started, then you're in the middle and then someone's going to end it. Let's say there's three, I don't know how many people there are, but let's say someone starts it. If you don't get it from them and you keep running, you're wasting your time. Think about that now. So that means I could have started with it. Fast, beat everybody. But if I can't get it to you and you just start running, you're going to get to somebody empty-handed. You're going to spend time with people. Hey, come around my house. That's fellowship. They're like this. What? You have nothing to give them. You're empty-handed. See, what that is, it's good to socialize. We're not against socializing. Socializing is good. We're human beings. We need to socialize. Sometimes you've got to chill with people and just chill, isn't it? Talk about boxing, talk about football, just chill. But there are other times when you need to fellowship. See, socializing and fellowship are different. Socializing is we're just hanging about and yamming food and laughing, and you need that. Don't be always, no, I need Bible. No, come on. Can't have that every minute. You got to socialize a bit. But I'm not telling people go socialize in the club. Listen, still keep it holy. You just don't need to be doing a Bible study every minute. But fellowship is sharing God where we're talking about God, we're edifying one another. How are you doing? What's going on with your life? How are you in the things of God? If you don't have those things in your life, you're going to realize that, you know what? This race is becoming very hard. You'll start to realize, and maybe some of you have thought this, what's the point? Well, what is the point? If you're in a relay race and you have no baton and you're running, you'd be sweating, putting energy. You may be the quickest, but what is the point? And this is sometimes people, maybe you turn up here on a Wednesday and you think, what's the point? And you hear, hey, come early for prayer. What's the point? You got outreach. What's the point? Because until you're running with a baton, until you've received something from somebody, and you're pushing and you with a willingness to say, you know what, I need to transmit this. So you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. See, what we're talking about is being poured out. The Bible speaks about this language of being poured out. Philippians 2:17. Look what it says here. Philippians 2:17. Yes. And if I am poured out as a drink offering to sacrifice, to the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. He says here that, you know what, if I'm going to be poured out, for me to transmit what's in me to you, I've got to be poured out. Me and my wife, when we drink differently, you know, like a drink, a can drink. My wife drinks like, she sips like, it's like a teaspoon has gone out of it. She could just, who drinks like that? When I drink a can of drink, 3 swigs, it's gone. Am I the only one? I'm the only one. Okay, no, come on, man. That's how a man drinks, isn't it? A man just, I don't like, with a pinky up in the air. And so whenever my wife gives me a drink, I'm like, oh, that drink looks nice. Let me have some of that. She's looking at it, and as I'm drinking it, she, no. You know, like tip it down, like take it easy. She's slowing down the flow. See, when Paul says he's poured out, he's not saying that he's just giving it a little bit. What he's saying is, I've emptied everything out. And look what he says in the text. Please put that text back up. Okay, look what he says here. And yes, if I am being poured out, what's he poured out for? He says, as a drink offering, meaning like a sacrifice, says it on there, the service of your faith. For you to have faith, someone needs to be poured out. For your faith to grow, someone needs to pour out themselves. For you to make it. Think about it now. And there are people that you know right now, and you're praying for them, you want them to make it, they're struggling. Do you know how their faith is going to be made? By you being poured out. See, you was poured into, and now it's your turn to pour out. And that is how the kingdom is built. It's built not by you giving a small bit, but being poured out. Let me tell you how the devil lies to us. And I get those same lies. Is that, no, don't go over the top, Courtney. Don't go too much. You don't want to get worn out. You don't want to give yourself to it too much. Don't get too into it. Don't get crazy or fanatical. No, Paul's language is, no, I want to be poured out. But the devil's telling me, no, hold back. The language of this world is like, no. Don't commit yourself that much. Yeah, it's okay, a little bit of church now and again. Some people have said this to you. A little bit of church now and again, that's okay. But not too much. You're still young. I want to ask you, what are you saving yourself for? What are you saving yourself for, if not to be poured out for Jesus? Listen, struggle now, cry now, because there'll be no crying in heaven. Struggle now. Now is the be poured out. Go for God. Give it your best. Give Jesus your best. Give him your max. Don't hold back. You're like, no. Later on. You may not have later on. You may not have later on. How many know Pastor Ulu that was in Brixton? Imagine if he would have said, you know what, let me not get sent out yet. I'll get sent out in 5 years' time. He didn't have 5 years left. He passed. He went into eternity as a pastor. But you know what? In eternity, he has the pastor's crown forever. Nothing will take that away from him. Doesn't matter if he was a pastor for a day or a pastor for a million years. As we are here right now, he has the pastor's crown, the shepherd's crown, the Bible says, that you receive in eternity. You know, when I went to Congo, we changed some money. Congo was expensive. I didn't go to Kinshasa. We went to Brazzaville, but it was expensive. Brother Everett could tell you, man, it was expensive. We were just eating chicken and chips because we just wanted to keep it kosher, keep it safe. And so it was expensive. So I was changing some money, and I changed a bit too much money. You know when you change your money, you get a bit confused. I don't know. I probably changed. So as I was leaving, I probably still had about, I don't know. I'm guesstimating maybe 50 pounds. It's not, 50 pounds is not a small amount of money. And so in Congo money. So I get to the airport, and getting through the airport was a holy bahoo-ha, and then I left my phone somewhere. So I never got to change my money there. So I was like, we fly to France, and then we come home. So when we get off at France, I was like, I could change my money there, but we didn't have time. We had to run. Remember, I've told that story where we ran. We only had like 1 minute to get on our plane. So when I got to at the airport, I'm thinking, then I can change my money. And so at the airport, I'm trying to change this money, and they said, no, we're not taking that money. They weren't ready for them Congo notes. If you're from the Congo here, we love you. We love you, man. And so they weren't changing them. So I was like, okay. So I went to the bureau de charge, you know, Marks and Spencer's. They said, no, we're not changing this. We don't carry this type of money. I went somewhere in West End. We don't carry this type of money. To right now, those Congo notes are sitting in my office. Right now. Luckily, I'm going back there this year. I can spend them bad boys. But think about this now. Here is this money that when I was in Congo, I could have spent it. And once I left, it's useless. Think about it. Once I left, it's useless. Can I tell you, you have talents and abilities and things that you can do. And when you leave this earth, it's useless. You know, people say in sports, they left it all on the pitch. They left it all on the field, meaning they played their heart out while they were on the pitch. They didn't save themselves for anything. How many people here that will be your testimony? That you've been poured out. You know, the Bible shows us an illustration with King David. It says, in 2 Samuel 23, verse 16, so then three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines to drew from the water of Bethlehem that was by the gate. And they took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Think about this now. We give an illustration here. I need an illustration. Carl, help me, please. And so, Adrian, stand up, please. And so, what's going to happen is, Carl, and at the back there is my water. Yeah? And so, you just try and stop him a little bit. We don't know gang rivalry, SUK, boys up in this place, yeah? Man bringing man, yeah? So I see you guys boxing up in the sky. We don't know none of that either, man. Don't get knocked out, smelling salts. So just give him a little bit of a hesitation that he can't get through, and then you break through, get the water, and then you come back. Okay, go on, go. So that he can't break through. Now let him through. He's broken through. He risked his life. Yeah? The way he's coming back for you. And so this is what happened. He's got the water now. And then you resist him again a little bit. And so he's risking his life. Okay, he's fighting. They're fighting. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. They're fighting. Okay, and he gets through. He's prevailed. Hooray! Now, that's what happened in the text, yeah? But the Bible says this. You know what David did? David wouldn't drink it. You know why? He says, this man's risked his life for this. And so what he said is, no. It would be wrong for him just to be like, that's good. Because this guy's risked his life. So in honor of this man suffering, he says, no, I'm going to pour it out. And what this means is, this is almost like in honor of him, saying, I'm going to sacrifice this because he sacrificed his life. Now, I want to tell you this. Every single one of you here are here today because someone else has sacrificed. And if you think not, listen, Pastor Warner went to get sent out, had a car accident, became crippled, cannot walk, is in a wheelchair. Then he went out again, started another church in Tucson. That church had revival. His sacrifice, he's still there now. His sacrifice enabled Pastor Paul Stevens to get a vision to come and plant the church in Rotherhithe. Pastor Paul Stevens was here as a missionary on little income. One time, the stories are, when Pastor Paul Stevens was here, him and his family hardly had any money. One night, all they had was like a portion of chips and one can of Coke to share. This is a married man with his kids. But he's here because they don't have much money to support him here. But he's just said, no, I'm here. Pastor Carnegie goes to Jamaica. When Pastor Carnegie takes Barbara to Jamaica, his little kids are tiny. Tiny little kids. And so he's there driving with a car that has a hole in it. He says, literally, we could see the ground. He was scared his kids would slip out of it like some Flintstone. Listen, I'm half Jamaican, so don't. Why are you dissing the jihadis? Listen, that's just the way it was, man. It's just the way it was. These men have made sacrifices. These men have made sacrifices. I got saved under Pastor. Because these men have made these sacrifices, I get saved. I've got no hope in the world. I'm just like this little ragamuffin going nowhere. Working in some dead-end dry cleaners. Literally, proper. Listen, there's nothing wrong with working in the dry cleaners, by the way. Praise God, we love you if you work in the dry cleaners. You've been cleaning our clothes and we salute you. But I'm going nowhere in my life, nowhere in my career, nowhere in anywhere. I have no education, no GCSEs. I've been expelled from every school. I'm a flop. I'm a failure. I'm insecure. I'm just living my life nowhere. But these men have made these sacrifices. I hear the gospel. I get saved. I get God's favor. I start to make money and get jobs and I get married. It's at that point where I could sit in the church and say, let me enjoy this good life. And then God starts knocking on my heart. I want you to go. But my life is good, man. No. You can't just drink this. Come to Wandsworth and be poured out. We've been poured out. We've been here 11 years. This is our 12th year. Think about this. I came here just as I got into my 30s. 45 now. The strength of my years I've given to this church. Because really, you know, after 45, soon I'll be 50. This year I'm 46. And so you think another 4 years, I've given it all my 30s, all my 40s. There are people here that give, they sacrifice. There are people in this church that have chosen, they've been offered jobs abroad to make money to do this, but they said, no, this is my church, and they come to this church, and they give, and they tithe, and the lights are on because they give. We're in this building because they give. See, every single one of us are here today because someone has sacrificed. Someone broke through. this year, are you going to just drink it? Or are you going to be like Paul? I'm going to be poured out. I want to be poured out into somebody. I want to be poured out in a ministry. I want to be poured out. Listen, nothing in God's kingdom takes off until it receives a blood transfusion. It has to receive blood. How many know if someone in your family was sick and they said, we need to give them blood, you'd give them blood? Come on, don't be bad, man. Give them blood. You'd give them blood. You'd say, yeah, take my blood so that they can live. Every ministry that takes off, you're going to have to sacrifice for it. I said to someone this year, last year, we had a good ministry. It was going. I said, who's going to lead it? Oh, I'm not too sure who's going to lead it. I said, that thing will die. Because if no one can't bleed over it, it won't stay alive. See, there are things God's going to put in your hand this year. Pour yourself into it. Pour yourself into it. Pour yourself into it. I want to tell you, when you pour yourself into it, it will go to the next level. See, that is the hardest part of ministry. Finding people that will pour themselves into others and ministry. It's not a new thing. Look what Paul says in Philippians 2 verse 19. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send to you Timothy shortly. He wants to send Timothy. He says, that I also may be encouraged when I know of your state. And this is the very sad thing. Look what Paul says here. I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. He said, everybody's just doing their own thing. Paul says, I can't really find many people that would actually care for you the way I care for you. But look what he says. But I know, speaking about Timothy, his proven character, that a son with his father has served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. You know what Paul says? He said, it's hard to find someone to send, but I found Timothy. He'll care for you. Really, you know what? We want to get the church to this place where people would be like, you know what? I can't get to pastor, but I can get to that guy. And that's as good. Pastor, okay, I see you're busy. You're over there counseling someone. Okay, bro, can you pray for me? Same thing. You're going to get the same thing. Because they're going to care for you the same way. I can't get to Sister Francis, but I can get to this sister. She'll give me good advice. She's going to advise me. She's going to help me. She's going to give me that. It will be the same thing. Ephesians 5 verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma. The Bible says that I should sacrifice myself for you the same way Christ sacrificed for me. Can I tell you, I'm still working on that. Can I be honest? I haven't achieved that yet. That convicts me. That makes me, I can go home and be like, yeah, I serve these people, man. And then I read that and I'm like, bro, get on your knees, get on your face. You know, sometimes you do a few things for people and you start to think, no one appreciates me. No, I know no one has ever felt that. You read that, you start to think, you know what? There's a long way to go. There was a story about this guy who's in the desert and he's about to die of thirst. And he comes, in a distance, he can kind of see like a well or a pump or something. And he's not sure even if he's imagining it because he needs water badly, he's going to die. And he gets there and he finds out it actually is a pump of water. And so he starts to pump it and nothing is coming out. It's like, oh my days. Falls to his knees in hopelessness. But he realizes down around the back of it, there's a bucket of water. But there's a note on the bucket. And so on the note, he's just about to drink the water, but on the note, it says, do not drink. And it says, you must use this water to prime the pump. What you've got to do is you've got to take that whole bucket, pour it into a tube at the top of the pump, And then pump the water, and as much water as you want will come out. And it says in there, be careful, it needs all of the water. Don't drink any of it. What do? You could just keep that, drink that water now, and never have no more. Or you can pour it out. And he pours it out, and then the pump starts to work. See, that's what God is saying to us. You're asking God for things, you need things, you're praying for things, and God is saying, listen, once you pour yourself out, you're going to realize there's going to be a limitless resource that's going to flow. Once you pour yourself out, there's going to be a limitless resource. Let me close with this very quickly. The last thing he said, remember what he said? Whatever you've received, pass on to others. Who do I pass it on to? He said, faithful men. This year, you've got to pray, God, show me faithful people I can really pour myself into. Let me be a faithful man, faithful woman. Let me see what you're really doing. He says, who's able to teach others. We really do need to be faithful with what God has given us. There was a woman whose son was on death row, and she goes, this is a land where they had kings, and she goes to the king. She has to travel far, and she goes to the king, and she says, my son is on death row. He stole an apple and blah, 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 but he didn't know what he was doing. He's on death row, and she pleads, and she pleads, and she pleads, and she pleads to the king, and the king says, you know what? I'll pardon him. And so the king gets one of his messengers, and he says, here's the king and his messenger, and he says, listen, I want you to ride into that town and tell them, give them this seal. Give them this letter, the seal of the king. This guy is basically, he can go free. Do not kill him. And so the messenger gets on there, gets the message, and he's riding, and he rides through a town, and he stops for a minute. And as he stops, he notices there's a circus. And there's a circus going on, and there's people like pretending to punch each other and clowns, and they're falling over, and he's looking at it. And he starts to look and he watches. And before he knows it, he's been there for hours. And then he gathers himself and he starts, oh, no, I got to go. And he goes into the town, jumps off the horse, runs into the magistrate, slams down the thing, says, this man can go free. He has a royal pardon from the king. The guy says, you know what? This afternoon, he was hanged. See, we've been given a royal decree from our king. Yes, there are people, this could be their last year if they don't get saved out there. They're about to go into drugs. They're about to go into alcohol. They're about to go into crime. They're about to do things that are going to, we don't know where their life is going to go. We've got to be careful that we don't get distracted by the clowns of this world. We're getting distracted by clowns. It's a clown show. It doesn't count. We've got to say, you know what? I'm going to keep going and keep going and keep going. I'm going to be faithful. Last scripture, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In modern term, it says God is scanning the planet. You know, like a scanner. Zzz, zzz. God is scanning the planet. What's he scanning the planet for? To show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. What that means is faithful. You know, the Bible doesn't say that you need to be talented. The Bible doesn't say that you need to have a certain IQ level. You know what the Bible just says? You just got to be faithful. You know, at the end of time, what is God going to commend? He says, enter in, thou good, faithful. See, really, all God is asking for is for you to be faithful this year. If you're faithful to pour yourself out, faithful to what God has put on your heart. If you just remain faithful, faithful means you're consistent. If my fridge works only 3 days a week, I'm getting rid of it. If my car only works 4 days a week, I'm getting rid of it. That's not faithful. faithful is. Every time I go in that car, I want it to turn. I want it to go. Some of you are doing well right now. You're doing good. Faithful means when you go through your low point, you still keep going. That's what it is. It means you, that's what it means to be faithful. Oh, I'm scanning through it right now. I'm not. No. You got to keep going. That's what it means to be faithful. You know what the Bible says? God is scanning the earth looking for faithful people. He's not looking for talented people. He's not looking for popular people. He's not looking for strong people or wise people. He's looking for just faithful. You know why that gives me hope? Because we can all be faithful. I don't have a lot of talent, but I can be faithful to what God has given me. And the Bible says, you know what he does? He shows himself strong. You know what that means? God actually wants to show you what he can do with faithful people. Here you are. You're up against a barrier. God's like, watch this. He's holding it with one hand. Yeah, look how strong I am. He wants to show you how strong he is. That's what he says. He says, I want to show you. God wants you to look at him and be like, oh my days, look at him. You ever seen people, you know, like I went to the gym with Kyle and I lifted 50 kg each hand. She said, oh, not impressed, all right? So you don't know what 50 kg is, that's why. And so, and people were like, people in rubber, see, because I was showing myself strong. God wants to do that. God wants to, look at that. And you're like, oh, God, you're bad. He wants to show himself strong. You're in this debt? God's like, is that your debt? Yeah, it's my debt. God's, what's this? I lift it. Throw it over there. You're like, God, you're bad. Okay, he's just throwing debt. Doctor said that sickness can't be a thing. God's just like, what's this? What's this? This is easy. Rips it in half. You're like, oh my days. But you gotta be faithful. You gotta be. See, this game, you know, this battle, should I say, we're in. The devil wants your faithfulness. And if you will just stay faithful, this is the way God told me to go. Oh, there's an obstacle. Devil's like, just go around, take a shortcut. No. I'm gonna wait here. God's coming in a minute. And then God turns up. Is this yours? Yeah. Thank you, God. Stay faithful. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.